Hey folks, I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board-certified urologist with expertise in sexual, hormonal, and genitourinary health, and I'm coming at you from the SMSNA in Grapevine, Texas with my favorite person in this world. I think every time we do a talk, I literally introduce you every time as my favorite person, Dr. Rachel Rubin.
I'm going to tell Larry Lipschultz.
Say hello to the crew, Rach.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Rachel Rubin. I'm a urologist with fellowship training in sexual medicine. And it's fun to be at a sex meeting together. How are you?
It's so awesome. Now, you've been very busy at this meeting. How many talks are you giving?
I don't know. I think there's like four talks or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to start with a talk that you gave yesterday. It was in like the plenary session. And you were talking about the GSM guidelines. And you had everyone, you know, you were like, everyone, take out your phone because now this is your job, right? That last slide gave me goosebumps because people, I think, are feeling now that it is their job because now there are guidelines. Can you touch on that?
Yeah. You know, it's really revolutionary, actually. And you and I have talked about the GSM guidelines before, the genitourinary syndrome of menopause guidelines that were put out by the American Urologic Association, but they were endorsed by the Menopause Society, the Sexual Medicine Society, ISWISH, the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health, the Urogynecology Society, the Female Urology Society. So there were these guidelines that actually a lot of people said, yeah, like this is ours too. Like we have a part of this. So the fun part of getting people to sign up to this guideline is now the societies have spoken. And so all the people in the societies have no choice but to say, this is now our medicine. And it's so beautiful because GSM was really housed in gynecology, right? Vulvovaginal atrophy. It was just, oh, a little vaginal dryness, use some lubricant, use some moisturizers. And with these guidelines that we've worked really, really hard over the years to get through, we're saying, no, no, this is actually really serious. This is serious urology. And this is serious sexual medicine. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, and now that the guidelines are here, we have to teach them. We can't just expect people to know how to write prescriptions, expect them to know what to do. And so it's really all hands on deck to really get people interested, excited. And so I only had 10 minutes to talk about it. And it was so, how can I like
get the very impactful
time? How do I get people to change their practice on Monday? That's really the way I'm trying to do it.
I don't think I've ever seen someone so passionate about guidelines ever, right? And guidelines come out, like a new guideline comes out maybe like once a year-ish, or they're updated, you know, and at the AUA meetings, they sort of announce these guidelines. And there have been guidelines that have been updated that, you know, like the CPPS, you know, chronic prostatitis, chronic pelvic pain guidelines. No one's really talking about that one. I don't know that a lot of people know that that one was also announced like at the AUA. So you're being really loud about these guidelines. When you're like, you know, in front of this big audience and you're talking about the guidelines, like, and you say you want to change practice on Monday, what is your secret sauce when you're coming up with your presentation? Like, when you are coming up with the content on the slide, how do you get people to actually change your behavior? Because you're doing this more than anyone else I've ever seen.
And that's what I want to teach is I want people to be watching me and saying, wait a minute, and you've done this, like you've done this actually more than many other people, is watch me and say, wait a minute, what is she doing and how is she doing it? And how can we incorporate this into other fields? Because it's a disaster to write guidelines if nobody knows they exist. And that's part of why I wanted the GSM guidelines, because in 2019, we had guidelines in recurrent urinary tract infection, and guideline number 18 statement said use vaginal estrogen to prevent UTIs. Nobody read it, nobody implemented anything, and nobody changed their practice. And for me, it's personal, right? It is personal because it has affected my life, my family, my patients. And like, it doesn't matter if the guidelines are written and if nobody knows they exist and how to write prescriptions. And so that's when I do a lot of research with medical students. And I tell them over and over again, I don't care if you write papers, if nobody reads them or knows that they are changing medicine and pushing it forward, it doesn't matter. And I think it comes from this space of like, we are so far behind. And we have so much we need to learn about women's health and even men's sexual health, but we're not using or marketing or implementing the stuff that we already have in place. When you see a guy who is, you know, 25 on testosterone and he doesn't know that it causes infertility, that is a real world disaster for a family. And so, like, marketing is actually all we do as doctors. That's all your job is marketing and selling. And you're bad at it. I'm sorry, but you stink at it. Like, you have figured out how to market and sell to get someone to have surgery or to get someone to take a vaccine or get someone, but you work hard at getting them to do that.
Yeah.
But you stink at it for many other things. And so I try to learn, like, and I speak in a way that I want to hear, right? Yeah. Because I go to conferences and hear the world's leading experts, but my brain turns off because they're boring or it's not helpful or I can't. I just get ADD and my brain goes somewhere else. And so when I speak, how do you capture an audience to think, to like feel empowered, to like change their practice? And it actually is being more simple, being more straightforward, being more like meeting people where they are and giving them what they need.
Yeah. So you recently spoke at the FDA panel, right? So as you're preparing your speech for that big discussion, trying to get the black, you know, box warning off of vaginal estrogen, how are you, like, what's going through your head in terms of what are you going to put when it comes pen to paper?
Panic, stress, anxiety. It takes a lot to get me nervous. That was one of the most stressful things. To be honest, it was very stressful for many reasons because it took a while to figure out who was even going to be at the meeting. A lot of people didn't show up because of lots of reasons, including politics. And so it took a while to get the group together. And then we needed sort of someone to help curd the cats to kind of figure out. And no one was doing it. No one was stepping up. And again, marketing, I was like, listen, you guys, it doesn't matter if we're in the room, if we're not cohesive, if we don't tell a story, if we don't have impact and call to action, we're not going to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I actually used my marketing strategies to herd the cats and be like, okay, here's the symphony we're going to create. And everyone's going to, has their talking points.
Because everyone touched on a set
that was very intentional, but it took many Zoom calls late at night to figure that out. Oh, by the way, I have a full-time job and small kids. But it took many calls to sort of get people on their messaging and then to build the messaging such that we had the right sort of flow of the points. And for my own talk, I knew I wanted to talk about removing the label on vaginal estrogen. And I knew that stories are important. And I think that we make a lot. There's a reason why at the State of the Union, the president always tells stories about little Bobby, you know, is at school and needs school lunch, right? Like, stories are impactful. But I also needed data to get in there. And so using data and stories, and I am really proud. I actually woke up at 2 a.m. before we went and changed the whole thing. And I have a notes app on my phone and I was just playing with the order and the points I wanted to make. And I was constantly moving things around. It was stressful, but I am truly proud of the 5 minutes that I was able to get through, because I think what is so cool is you can look at it on our YouTube channel. It's 5 minutes, but you can show that to your patients, right? When you give your patient vaginal estrogen and say, hey, this is going to prevent urinary tract infections, watch this 5-minute video of this doctor talking at the FDA about it. And it's very simple. And every doctor, every patient, everybody can understand the whole story of GSM, even in those little 5 minutes. And so I think it is also a muscle that I have built over time. And I think you and I, you are a perfect example of if you go back and watch the first videos that either of us did when we started doing this, it's a beautiful tribute into the more you talk, the more you do this, the easier it gets. And the more sharp you get at your talking points and the more you kind of figure out what people need. And it just teaches everyone out there, if I can do this, like, you can do this too. And you need to do it because people are, you have so much information and knowledge. And if it doesn't get out there, you're hurting people, really.
You're a master at having conversations with like 300 people in the audience as if you're talking to each one individually. I think that's like your secret sauce when you're talking. You're not talking at them. You're talking with each of us.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing to see.
I think it's the deeply, I deeply don't feel like I know that much or that I am somehow, like I really talk to people like they're human. I actually talk, I think part of it comes from no one knows anything about women's sexual health. And so if I'm in an audience, I know that I have the ability to teach people something that they don't know much about. And so, and they're actually patients. They're husbands, their wives, their sisters, their mothers, they're all patients. And so I actually don't talk to an audience of doctors any differently than I would talk to an audience of patients, because they all don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the secret sauce. And it's not because it's not intentional. It's the reality of how bad it is in this field, right? How far we have to go. And so maybe that's why it works, but yeah.
So you mentioned your evolution of how you create content, and you being in that content creation space is relatively new, like with your YouTube channel. There's so many people, so many of our colleagues that they want to educate and they want to build their brand, but they're not doing the work to do it. People are afraid of like how much time and effort this is going to take.
Yeah.
You've built this incredible YouTube channel where you literally address every single topic related to vaginal hormones. Do you think one of the problems, you know, with why it feels overwhelming for so many of us is we're trying to hit every topic, and you've really honed in on one, and you said, I'm going to master like this one thing?
Yeah, I think it's really consistency and just don't give up and just keep going. And what's funny is like the world will tell you what it needs. And like you think you have to do everything. Okay, here's my content strategy. I'm going to make all these videos. Make one video. And then you realize the question, you get thousands of questions or 10 questions. Now you have 10 more videos. And what's so funny is I do so simple, right? Vaginal estrogen, you think, is a very simple topic. And yet every time I do a lecture, one post, one thing, we get 37,000 questions.
Yeah.
Some of them are the same questions you get over and over again, but they're different eyeballs. So one of my mentors has said this to me. And by the way, mentors is really important. Like you need personal development mentors, professional development mentors. You need social media mentors. Like there's a 22-year-old who knows how to do buttons that is your mentor, like waiting to happen, right? But one thing this mentor says is it's not about saying new things to the same people, the old people. It's about saying the same thing to new people, right? It's about saying the same thing, but you need new eyeballs on them. And this is a topic where you have half the population, right, is gonna potentially, if they live long enough, go through menopause, half the population, and the other half of the population deeply cares for that half of the population. And so this is something that affects every human being on earth. I'm one person. And so it is this insane idea of how do you educate that many people. And so we need to inspire other people to educate those people, and we need to inspire, you know, at every level. And so that fuels me, right? That's really fun for me, but it is overwhelming. And honestly, it's funny, I'm talking later today about how to build a practice, how to sort of build a brand and a practice. I get 10 minutes to talk about it, which is funny because I want to talk about it for hours. But the reality is you know, you and I, people would look at us and be like, oh, you guys are overnight successes. Wow, you're everywhere. You popped up everywhere. It's like, no, I have been at this.
They're like, do you even work? Yes,
right? I've been at this consistently for almost 10 years now, right? Like in 2016 is when this all really started. And so what's very cool about when you do this is you each time, I'm not starting from scratch. Like everything you do builds and builds and builds. The Urology Times interviews that we did years ago are still somewhere, you know, kind of people can find. And so it's just your marketing is happening for you all the time. The more content you build, I was just for this talk, I went to ChatGPT and I said, tell me about Rachel Rubin, MD. And it had tons of information, right, about me, because it could grab from all that content that goes out there. So you might be in a comfortable job right now, and the hospital system could shut down tomorrow. They could sell to private equity and it's no longer kind of working for you. So the more you put into building your own personal sort of ecosystem of what you believe in and who you are, then every option is open to you sort of ahead of the game.
It's a really interesting concept. You know, when I talk to younger people and they don't yet have like a social media or like any sort of digital platform, and I'm like, why don't you start with YouTube and start with some educational videos? But, you know, my messaging has changed a little bit over the years because, you know, when I was previously at a university, everything was like, hi, I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I direct the men's health program at the University of Iowa, you know, all that stuff. And then at some point I made a transition and said, hey, I'm Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board certified urologist, because even though I had no plans at the time to make a career transition, I wanted this content to live with me wherever I went. Right. And I think even when we're presenting, we're creating like PowerPoint slides, we typically put like the meeting logo in the background or institution in the background. And there might be value in maybe not putting that stuff in the background so we can use those slides for other things and that content can live on outside of that meeting or presentation. Any additional thoughts on that?
No, I think you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also marketing and selling, as I said earlier, it's your job. It is your job. And I think we need to stop thinking of it as, oh, like bad or annoying or frustrating and sort of, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Like the world has, like we need to have this realization. The world has changed. How people consume information has changed. And we are losing a battle that we're going to keep losing if we don't put more effort into. And if you watch me, which you should all follow me on social media, if you follow me, I don't dance. I don't put makeup on. I don't try to make it look pretty. Like I can't look like this no matter how hard I try. Like I am truly just, I get ragey about something. I'm in the exam room and something really frustrates me, or I'm like, oh, I've said this for the 400th time to this patient. I hit play on my phone and I rant at the phone, and those are my most popular videos.
Yes, right? The ones in your car, the ones when you're picking up your kid.
The ones that they're organic, they're real. Like yeah. I don't put, and I'm not that good at it actually. And some of my colleagues are way better at social media than I am, but you don't have to follow the trends. You don't have to, you know, do the popular things. Like there's a way to just give good information, because there is someone who is suffering at home with a condition that they have no hope for, and you have the answer to their problem. And so, yes, you could see one patient in the exam room, but if you can reach the people so that they know, wow, I'm not alone, or, oh, there is this doctor who's far away from me, and we have people travel from all over the world to come see us, which is only because it gives them, like, our content gives them hope. So they show up to my office, and they already know, like, and trust me.
Yeah. You know, what I love about your content is as well, because a lot of us, we want to, like, recreate all of this content, is we don't have to recreate content that's already good, right? We just have to find the good content out there. And I think even for people in the room, there were probably, I don't know, a few hundred people in the room at the plenary session yesterday, is even if they are doing something completely different and they're not going to, like, see women and prescribe it, they now have an exit strategy where they can say, look, this is out of my area of expertise. Like, I don't see women for female sexual dysfunction, but why don't you follow Rachel and at least learn the basics? So there's something that everyone can take from that sort of presentation, because now they have the exit strategy.
Yeah. And that's why in my messaging, it's, I want, like, it was so beautiful. We had dinner last night and a guy who is not a clinician was there, and he said, my aunt was having urinary tract infections, and I sent her your content. And a man who's not in the space, who literally was like, I found your videos and I sent them to my aunt, and she's now on vaginal estrogen and she's no longer having urinary tract infections. And so it's stories like that where you're just like, we're doing the right stuff. So for the doctors out there, like, you just need to know it's a thing and get your patients to the right place. And then we're going to go a step farther, because now we have guidelines. So I can teach you how to do this, right? Here is now a step-by-step guide. So it's important to do social media, and it's important to do the guidelines, and it's important to do the research of the questions we don't have. And that's why we need as many people to do this as possible, because I'm tired. And I also want to, you know, be able to, like, leave the world in good hands.
Yeah. So you touched on the last topic I want to delve into here, is the research arm, right? Because I remember even just, like, chatting with you at a meeting a couple of years ago, you really weren't delving into the research space because you had just started your practice. You know, you had a lot of other things going on. And now you've gone from, like, 0 to 60 in 2 years with this hugely robust research team called SMART.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you mentor students from, like, around the country, around the world. Like, where are these people?
It's amazing. So it actually started at the SMSNA probably 3 years ago. And I saw someone who had a research team and all these people following him, and they were presenting all this stuff. And I said, I want that. I was like, I want that. That's what I want. And so at that meeting, I gathered a handful of students and I said, we're going to do this. We're going to get on Zoom once a month and we're going to just try to churn out research projects. And my colleagues joined me, and it grew and it grew. And it is so cool. So we have 370 people on our Slack channel.
What?
At each meeting, we get about 30 to 40 people that show up every month. And it's not just students. I have a librarian, a brilliant librarian from Yale, who found out about it from Twitter like years ago, right? And she comes every single month and she's an expert in systematic reviews. So we're churning out systematic reviews. So we are literally doing grassroots research. And so right now we are doing a lot of, you know, internet searches, a lot of internet-based surveys. We're doing a lot of reviews. We're doing a lot of, you know, collaborating with other institutions to get different research projects out there, very good case reports, things like that. But I'm actually now have paperwork for a 501c3 so that I can raise money so that we can actually do even more research. And again, it just shows you it is I can't wait. I can't choose one research topic and study it for 30 years. And like, that's the thing. There's too much research to do. I have too many clinical questions. One day in my clinic and I have 27 research papers that I want to do. So this year I actually was able to invest in a research student. She's a gap year student between third and fourth year. And she's just in my office, like helping sort of organize all these research projects and helping to turn things out. I would love one day a PhD on staff. But you, again, you meet yourself where you are and you give yourself what you need and you slowly build it. So I see really incredible things. And really my plan, the genius behind this, is this is the future of sexual medicine. All of these students are going to go into whatever field they do, but they are always going to have a base foundation of sexual medicine. And then they're going to collaborate with each other. Our clitoral adhesions data that published a couple years ago, they were medical students at the time. And now one is an OBGYN resident, one is an internal medicine resident, and the other is a freaking neurosurgery resident, right? Like, that is incredible, because I actually need neurosurgeons to care about sexual medicine, because there's a lot of spine stuff that happens. And so it's just like, this is like, it's just very exciting.
Wow, that is very exciting. So we'll end with this. We're in October of 2025. What are you looking forward to the last couple months of 2025?
Yeah, the thing I'm most excited about is this year we put out a course for how to teach people how to write prescriptions for hormone therapy. There's so much interest in menopause right now, but nobody teaches clinicians how to do it, how to write prescriptions. And so we've put together an on-demand course that's a little CME, but it really will help guide you and empower. And we have clinicians from literally every state except Delaware. Delaware. So that's really exciting, because we're actually seeing the dissemination of this information, that when you give people, tools, they can fish themselves, right? They can actually do it. And so that I'm super excited about.
Dr. Rubin, it is always so good to see you. Thank you for joining us
for having me.
Perspectives.